Morning.
Morning.
Okay, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to reread that New Testament text that we just read. And the reason I'm going to is when there was a bulletin draft, I initially put the wrong scripture in. So what Jim just read, because he worked so far ahead, is the scripture that I put that was wrong to begin with. So what you have in your bulletin is the correct scripture. And that's what I'm going to read right now. But Jim, thank you for your diligent, hard, early work. And the scripture for this morning, had there not been a typo in the draft, is Hebrews 1:1-4. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And our second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, verses 11 and 11 through 16. Listen again for the word of God. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. Friends, this, along with both of our Hebrews passages, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us today. Fall afresh on our tender hearts and our wearied minds. Fall afresh on us today. Speak to us the words you would have us hear. Breathe your life into us, we pray. Amen. I have to share that this has been a tender week of sermon preparation. I decided to go with our Ephesians passage today because it seemed to capture the moment we find ourselves in better than what the gospel for today did. Back during COVID, I preached a sermon where I talked about theologian Karl Barth and how he challenged us to live with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Well, this week, like you, I imagine, I've been living with the Bible in one hand and with the news and social media in the other. What's been happening in the western part of our state is beyond belief. As images and stories filter in, we're understanding just how catastrophic the events of last weekend are. For me, it's reminiscent of the early days of COVID, the days after 9/11, and the stories and images that came back after the great earthquake in Haiti. We've had many people from our church community reach out this week to ask, what do we do? That's the great question of the moment, and really the existential question of a lifetime. When faced with great tragedy and devastation, what do we do? We felt helpless with the wars raging on in the Middle East and Ukraine, and we've felt helpless with gang violence in Haiti that has kept help, including our help, at bay. What do we do? Now, this calamity feels more personal. Many of us have friends and family in Western North Carolina. Many of us are from Western North Carolina. Some of us go to school there. Some of us have homes there. And for many of us, the mountains of North Carolina are our spiritual home. Montreat, Black Mountain, Boone, Linville, Waynesville, Weaverville, and all around. Fill in the name of your special place. These places are thin places for us. The places where it's believed that the veil between heaven and earth is thinner, and the veil between God and us is thinner. What do we do? What do we do when these places that are deeply embedded in our hearts are facing despair and destruction all around? What do we do? Well, this morning, what we do first, with the Bible in one hand, is we look at Scripture. In our first passage, the Hebrews passage, we see Jesus, the Son. It says Jesus is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains everything with his powerful word. Eugene Peterson says in his version of Scripture called The Message, Jesus perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says. If we want to know best who God is and what God is all about, we look at the person of Jesus. What Jesus does is who God is. And what Jesus says is what sustains us. So what did Jesus do? He worshiped, he welcomed, he taught, he learned, he preached, he listened, he served, he healed, he fed, he calmed storms, he loved. Jesus took ordinary people and called them to be his disciples. He pointed out their strengths and challenged them in their weaknesses. He was patient with them. He was kind to them. And because of him and through them, the world was changed. His movement started out small, just 12 people and Jesus. They took one step at a time, helped one person at a time, welcomed one person at a time, loved one person at a time. Then multitudes gathered and were fed in body and in spirit, and those people went out and told a few people about what they had experienced and how they had been changed. And then those people went out and told a few people their story. And then those people and those people. And here we are today with the Bible in one hand. Well, let's turn to our Ephesians passage now. Here Paul is writing from prison. In his time of desperation, he writes to the church in Ephesus to remind them what is most important. Because it's easy to forget what's most important until something devastating happens. Paul reminds them of their truest calling to be one body in Christ. He reminds them to be humble, gentle, and patient, and to bear with one another in love. How much do we need to be reminded of this right now? And he reminds them to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How much do we need to be reminded of this right now? Paul says there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. who is above all and through all and in all. Do you hear this, my friends, in this, our purple church of ours? We are one, one body of Christ, united in one spirit. And in this one body of Christ, we're all giving gifts to build up the body. Paul says gifts God has given us are all to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Paul says that our job as followers of Christ is to grow up in every way into Jesus, who is the head. The whole body, when it's working together, part by part, joined and knit together by its ligaments and led by Christ as the head, this whole body then goes out to do one thing: love. What do we do? We remember that we are one body of Christ guided by the Spirit, and we love. So next, we take the newspaper or whatever resources there are to get information going on in the world. I'm gonna show you what my resource is. We take it in the other hand. This week, I've read article after article. I've watched news stories in local, national, and international news, and I've been engaging on social media a lot, which I normally try not to do. I found that Facebook has been the best place to get access to information and to hear from friends who I may have been worried about. I know you've seen lots of stories too. With the newspaper in one hand, I share with you three stories that have been impactful for me. Story number one. I want to introduce you to a guy that I learned about on Facebook named Ethan Clark. Maybe you've heard of him too at this point. He's been leading the way, getting people's stories out in North Carolina. I don't know him personally, but I feel like I do at this point. I started following his site, North Carolina's Weather Authority, on Facebook. You might want to write that down. North Carolina's Weather Authority. I was having a hard time finding information about what was going on in the western part of our state, and I kept running into his page. He had the most comprehensive weather information, and people were posting everything they knew about what was going on. His site has pictures of the devastation and what the response is. City managers and county officials reach out to him. People have posted appeals for help to find or to rescue their loved ones. Someone posted last week that urgent help was needed in Black Mountain. There were 50 people stranded on a mountain, and one of them was giving birth. Because someone saw this post on Ethan's page, all those people were rescued. Because of Ethan and his page, countless numbers of people have gotten the life-saving resources that they need. Ethan also tracked Helene before it hit North Carolina. He warned people that this storm would be different. He told them there's a huge concern for flooding rains across the mountains and foothill parts of the Piedmont. One wrote to him after the storm, "Ethan, you helped me save my parents' lives. They live in Asheville and had no idea how serious the storm would be. I knew because of you. And while it took some convincing, they listened and finally got out Thursday morning. They wouldn't have survived it. Thank you." Ethan started this passion project 9 years ago. He wanted to keep his family and friends informed about the weather. He was in seventh grade at the time. Ethan is now only 21 years old, and he's a student at NC State. His Facebook site has 570,000 followers. He's more passionate than ever about helping North Carolinians, especially those who live in small towns in the East or the West. God gave Ethan a passion for weather forecasting and a gift of communicating. His work started out so small when he was so small, and now he has a huge impact on the lives of so many people in our state. Story number two. A friend of mine and fellow minister in Asheville named Caroline finally posted on Facebook a couple of days ago. She posted to let everyone know that she was safe and what was going on in her part of the world. She wrote, "I and the dogs are fine. Songbirds, crickets, and bunnies are back. If we had power and water and easy internet, we likely would not notice. Hoping to be of use as best we can. Thank you for loving us. We are all on a long walk through grit and gratitude in varying amounts at any given time." Caroline continued, "I'm avoiding seeing all the images you are seeing and focusing on where I am. Here are some tales from my little circle of influence. There are so many trucks and workers around here. I live near downtown. Each of those trucks has people who are helping, away from their families and their familiars. One I met the other day was from Quebec. Our neighbors have exchanged phone numbers, and now I know the names of the kids I see riding on their bikes. Neighbors are getting food for other neighbors, figuring out how to get the water we need. Some birds are back, and because it's dark, we can see the stars." God has given Caroline a way with words and reignited in her a love for her neighbors and for the simple things around her. She knows the names of the kids on bicycles in her neighborhood. She can't take in all the catastrophe of the whole region at one time. Her situation and that of her neighbors is enough for her. Maybe you feel like this too. Maybe the storm in your life is enough for now. The diagnosis, the divorce, the grief, the transition. Maybe it's enough to go outside and listen to the crickets, to watch the birds or see the bunnies. Maybe you can make sure your neighbor or your family member has what they need. Maybe that's what you can do for now. Story number three. One of our sister churches in the mountains, Black Mountain Presbyterian Church, has found itself in the heart of disaster assistance for Montreat, Black Mountain, Swannanoa, Old Fort, and beyond. Even without power, they started feeding people right away. They've been feeding people three meals a day. They're collecting and distributing supplies to people who need them. They've been hosting the National Guard. They're coordinating volunteers and sending out 40 to 50 trucks a day to cut down trees, deliver generators for medical emergencies, and to check on people. More than 1,000 meals a day are being fed by Black Mountain Pres and their partners, totaling 7,000 meals a day. More than 1,000 people are being fed, totaling 7,000 meals a day. Yesterday, they posted pictures of their campus. Their courtyard was filled with thousands of water bottles to be distributed. Their narthex was filled with baby formula, food, toiletries, and health supplies. Their parking lot was filled with tents and tables for feeding people. Their sanctuary was filled with diapers and wipes. And every place on their campus had people, so many people, coming together to help one another. The week before the flood, Black Mountain Presbyterian Church had just announced their new mission statement that they had been working on for some time. So the week before the flood, one of the members of the mission vision team said that the team just kept coming back to the idea of the table. On the front of their communion table, ours has no words, on the front of their communion table is inscribed the words, "Have all been fed." They decided this would be their new mission statement and launched it the week before the disaster. Have all been fed. There are so many gifts in that little church, in that little mountain town, that are being used for the building up of the body of Christ. That's what they are doing. What do we do? Today, having been fed on the Word of God and nourished by the stories about how God is using the gifts of people, we gather around this table, God's table, so that we can be strengthened for what God is calling us to do, and we can listen for what God is calling us to do. What our brothers and sisters in the western part of the state have gone through is beyond our comprehension, and they will need our love, our help, and our gifts in the days and months and even years to come. They will need our time, our financial resources, and they will need our creativity to help dream up new possibilities for how our gifts might build up this larger body. What do we do? I'm reminded of a quote by the 16th century nun Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. In our Ephesians scripture today, Paul reminds us what we are to do when we're faced with overwhelming and impossible seeming situations. He reminds us that we aren't on our own. We're in this together. We're part of God's family. Indeed, we're part of the body of Christ. And we've been gifted for this very purpose. What do? We remember that we're not alone. We have a leader in Jesus Christ who showed us what God looks like. And we have a guide in the Holy Spirit who promises to be with us and sustain us. What do? Today, with our friends from all over the world, including our friends at Black Mountain Prez, we take our part in the communion of saints and the body of Christ. Today, we come to this table that is the Lord's table. Today, we come and we feast and we pray for how God might use our gifts individually and collectively to benefit the body of Christ in our families, our neighborhoods, our church, our community, our state, and beyond. Come, friends, for the table is set. To God be the glory. Amen. Friends, let us take time to pray and imagine how God might use our gifts for this world that so desperately needs them. The needs are always there. We're just freshly awake to them because those needs have come close to home this time. Maybe the question really isn't, what do? But who are we? We are the body of Christ. Having been fed today, let us go out and be the body of Christ in the world, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with us this day and forevermore. Amen.